Okay, so the thing that got me immediately is the framing. The harness owns the loop, not the trainer, the harness. And once you say it that way, you realize every RL framework before this was kind of pretending the harness didn't exist.
Right, and that's not a small pretense. In traditional agentic RL, the training engine owns the environment interaction. The model produces tokens, the environment replies, you extend the history, you keep going. It's one continuous trajectory. Clean prompt. The training framework can see the whole thing.
Right.
In Harness Agentic RL, the harness intercepts all of that. It constructs the prompt for each model call independently. So from the training system's perspective, you don't see a continuous trajectory. You see a sequence of request-response pairs, and everything the harness did in between is just latent. You have no idea what happened. The paper calls this a service boundary, and I think that's exactly right.
And the harnesses product thesis we've been running since what, episode 826? This is basically the training time version of that same argument. The harness isn't a wrapper, it's the thing.
Yeah, that's a clean way to put it. And this paper is the first one I've seen that actually names the implementation problems that fall out of that. Not just the harness matters at a Vibes level for specific, concrete failure modes that existing frameworks leave underspecified.
Okay, so I've been staring at this on a Wednesday morning, which is a very exploring next way to spend a Wednesday. Walk me through the four.
So the first one is retokenization, and it's subtle. Harnesses communicate with model APIs through text. RL training operates on tokens. When you try to merge two consecutive API calls into one training sample, you retokenize the text, and even if the text is identical, the token ints for the model's response can come out different than what was originally sampled. So you can't safely merge them. The continuity is broken at the token level. Second is advantage calculation. In traditional RL, one rollout maps to one training sample. In harness agentic RL, one rollout can produce dynamic number of samples because the harness might spawn subagents, summarize context, do handoffs. So how do you assign rewards and advantages across those samples? The paper says this is genuinely open. I believe them.
That one feels like the kind of problem you don't notice until your training run is quietly wrong.
That's exactly what it is. Loss normalization is the third one, and it's the same flavor. If you normalize loss at the sample level, rollouts that produce more samples get more gradient weight, which means you're implicitly rewarding harness complexity, not task performance. Some existing frameworks still do this. The paper flags it as a source of instability.
Oh no.
And four is scheduling. Sample count is only known after harness execution finishes, but your GPU count is fixed. So you have to partition a variable size sample set into training steps and mini batches across fixed parallel configuration. It's not unsolvable, but nobody was writing it down.
So the contribution here isn't a new algorithm. It's naming the problems clearly enough that you can actually fix them.
Which I'd argue is harder than the algorithm half the time. And they do fix them. Agent Lightning V1.0 is a full framework with their own design choices for each of these. Approximately 3,500 lines of code total. That's the other thing I want to flag. They treat simplicity as a first principle. Small enough to read, small enough to audit.
Geffen, the number that jumped out at me, Quinn 3.59 billion, SWU bench verified, 41.8 to 56.4, 14.6 absolute, on 6,000 training examples and quote, modest compute.
Yeah, that's a real number. I want to be careful about what it means, though. 56% is genuinely good for a 9 billion parameter model, but the SWU bench verified leaderboard right now has Claude Opus 5 somewhere around 96%. So this isn't a state-of-the-art claim. It's a look what RL through the harness does to a small model on limited data claim.
Right, the claim is the delta, not the ceiling.
Exactly. And there's a reproducibility repo, github.com/microsoft/agentlightning, with a full data cleaning pipeline and training scripts. That's the part I actually care about. They say existing RL frameworks have limited support for coding agents specifically. No complete data, no training scripts, reliance on large compute. They're filling that gap.
So who runs this? Like, in my head, the person who picks this up already has a harness, mini SWU agent, open hands, something like that, and they want to train through it without rewriting it inside a training framework.
That's the right read. The whole point of the proxy approach, LLM endpoint between the harness and the trainer, is that your harness doesn't change. You're not porting your agent loop into Vril or Aerial. You just point it at the endpoint, and the training system observes the calls.
Okay, but if you don't already have a harness, this doesn't hand you one.
Correct. And I think that's fine. Actually, they're not pretending this is a zero to one tool. They validate it on three agent types: general instruction following, search, and coding. The coding one is the most developed. The others are more here's the test bed.
I keep thinking about the teams this is actually for, and it's a pretty specific profile. You need an existing harness, you need rollout infrastructure, and you need to care enough about training deployment alignment to go through this instead of just prompting harder.
Yeah. And the paper is honest that this is early. They call the sample merging and advantage assignment open questions even after proposing their own answers. I appreciate that. The field keeps shipping frameworks with underspecified choices and calling them solved.
That's the fourth time this month I've heard our framework handles agentic RL and then you read the footnotes.
Oh, at least the fourth. The proxy-based approach is becoming more common. Vril Uni Agent, Aerial 2.0, Slime v0.3, but the paper's point is that following the proxy pattern doesn't automatically mean you've handled retokenization or loss normalization correctly. Those are separate decisions.
Right, the pattern is necessary, not sufficient, which is such an exploring next sentence.
It really is. Look, my honest take, this is probably the most useful single document on harness agentic RL that exists right now. Not because the ideas are shocking, but because it's the first paper that names the boring layer clearly. Retokenization is boring. Loss normalization across dynamic sample counts is boring. Nobody writes that paper. These folks did.
The interesting work is always one layer below where the recommendation stops.
Stop it. Yeah, exactly that.
If you want to poke at the repo, it's at github.com/microsoft/agentlightning, full scripts, data pipeline, the works. That's where I'd start.
And honestly, even if you're not running this today, the problem characterization section alone is worth reading if you're building anything that touches agentic RL. It's 3,500 lines of code and a very honest accounting of what the field has been quietly getting wrong.
All right, Geffen, boring layer wins again. I'll see you next time we decide this is how to spend a Wednesday.